morning. One of the benedictions that we frequently use to end our services here goes like this. I believe this is one that Reverend Lucy brought to UUSS from the community church, and those of you who were my co-congregants there know it well. May faith in the spirit of life, hope for the community of earth, and love of the sacred in one another be ours now and in all the days to come. So we end our time together by wishing ourselves and each other faith, faith in the spirit of life. But what does that mean, really? And what does that kind of faith have to do with hope for the community of earth and love of the sacred in one another? A few years back, I read an interview with Father Gregory Boyle. He's a Jesuit priest who works with gang members in LA. And when he was asked about the success rate of his ministry and its job training program, Homeboy Industries, Father Greg responded, "We're not called to be successful. We're called to be faithful." And I was struck hard by that phrase, called to be faithful. What did he mean? Surely he cared about success rates, right? He must care about rehabilitation and restorative justice. It's the point of his ministry. And as a priest, he's got to believe that God cares about each individual life and the success of the individual men he works with. So what did it mean that he was called not to be successful, but to be faithful? I think what he meant is that the value of his work with gang members can't be measured by recidivism or relapse rates. Instead, his work with these men, treating them individually with dignity and respect, daring to love them, holding hope for each of them to have a different life, is valuable for its own sake, regardless of recidivism and addiction rates. Father Greg does his work first and foremost not to achieve a goal, but because it's the way for him to live out his faith, a faith that God loves each tattooed face and twisted heart, that God lives among the poor and the dispossessed and can create justice out of the wreckage of human failure. In Father Greg's context, the context of Christianity, being faithful means to walk the talk of the gospel, not just believing in a God that is love, but living in a way that manifests God's love in the world. We too are called to be faithful. Now, I am well aware that many UUs are practically allergic to the word faith, and if you are already twitching in your seat, I promise you, you are not alone. Some of us were taught as children that faith means unquestioning acceptance of a belief system, perhaps a particular idea of God that makes no sense to us. Some of us were taught that faith means the absence of doubt, that it means certainty about ultimate truths. That's not what I mean. When I use the word faith, I'm not talking about believing anything intellectually, and I don't mean feeling certainty emotionally. So let's try thinking about faith not as a noun, but as a verb, or more accurately, as an adverb. It's about how we do our lives. To live faithfully is to live out our commitments. That's what we do when we talk about being faithful to a partner, hanging in there in good times and bad, and most importantly, on the days when we just plain don't feel the love. To be faithful, in other words, is to live consistently with our deepest and highest values, and that's a choice about our actions. It's not an intellectual position, and it's not an emotional state. For me, the highest and deepest values are the interdependence of life on earth and of all being, the ultimate power of love, and the progress of the human community toward greater justice. Whatever you believe individually about the spirit of life, whether or not you're comfortable using the word God, whether you consider yourself a theist or an atheist or something else altogether, these principles are integral to our shared Unitarian Universalism. Interdependence, love, and justice. So what does it mean to live faithfully to those principles? I've already said faith doesn't mean an intellectual position or an emotional state. And that means, in turn, that keeping faith with our UU principles, that's small p principles, doesn't mean unwavering belief in anything, including our seven principles with a capital P. Remember, we're a creedless faith. We covenant to affirm and promote our values, not to accept them without question. I'll tell you, I have my days when I doubt the inherent worth and dignity of some people. I have days, sometimes weeks or months, when I am cynical about the democratic process and all but hopeless about the prospects for world community. And turning to my own personal worldview, I am not someone who believes, for example, that things happen for a reason or that love conquers all. I do believe that love and justice are in some sense ultimately more powerful than all the forces arrayed against them. But that doesn't mean that they triumph in any particular place or time, let alone in some final cosmic showdown. So yes, I hold love and justice among my highest values, but I have doubts sometimes about how well they are doing in triumphing over evil. And yet, I choose to make a deliberate decision every day to live in a way that affirms and promotes those values regardless of the doubts I'm feeling and regardless of my emotional state. So, for example, living faithfully for me means limiting my carbon footprint whether or not there is still time to avert the apocalypse. It means not getting into a debate with myself about whether my vote matters, but voting as if it does matter, because if I don't, it won't. It means not retreating into isolation when I feel lonely and disconnected, but maintaining my place in the community anyway by showing up here on Sunday morning, singing in the choir, attending the upcoming workshop on racial justice. It means sharing my income with people who have less than I do. Bottom line, it means caring for the planet and doing my small part to create the conditions for peace and justice. And it means making time every day for silence, for deep attention to my own heart and spirit, whether or not I feel anything moving there. And just like the lover who pledges faithfulness, I don't feel it or believe it all the time. As I've indicated, there are days, weeks, months, when it is entirely unclear to me that love is winning or that humanity is making any progress whatsoever. And for a UU, that counts as a crisis of faith. But you know, I think really it's not a crisis. It's a natural part of the rhythm of human experience and the rhythm of human spiritual life. So I try not to let my doubts or my lack of felt spiritual connection drive my daily choices about how to live. I'm not going to deny my doubts, and I'm not going to pretend to feelings I don't have, but I'm also not going to let that dictate how I put one foot ahead of the other on my path. I'm going to carry on just the same. When I fall off the path, sometimes several times a day, I get back on. And that, I think, is the core of faithfulness. Choosing to get back on the path of my values and take the next step, whether or not I can see where that path is going. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "Faith is taking the first step, even when you don't see the whole staircase." And I think that's exactly it. As Dan Millman puts it, faith means living with uncertainty, feeling your way through life, letting your heart guide you like a lantern in the dark. So putting those two metaphors together, faith is the act of holding out my own heart like a lantern while I take the next step on that staircase into the unknown. Recently, I was visiting one of my kids at college out of state, and while she was in class, I went to the chapel. It's called the Center for Religious and Spiritual Life, an interfaith center. And I meditated for a while in the chapel itself, which, by the way, was hexagonal, like ours. How cool is that? And then I went downstairs into the library and started browsing the shelves. There were Christian texts over here, Jewish here, Buddhist, Hindu. And there was a title that caught my eye on the spine of a book. The book is called Faith is Like Skydiving. Whoa, I thought. Lanterns on the staircase are one thing, but skydiving? And I will admit to you, I did not take the book down off the shelf. So I have no idea what the author meant or what his thesis was, but I had a bone to pick anyway. I started having a debate in my mind with a theological straw man entirely of my own creation, a personal failing that I think is not unique to me among all Unitarian Universalists. But I digress. So what I was saying in my head to the unknown author is, are you kidding me? Parachutes do fail. See, I was assuming, or let me just say, that the title of this book, Faith is Like Skydiving, reminded me of a notion that I have heard, that if you just put enough faith in God, if you trust that God will catch you, then you will be rescued before hitting the ground, just like a parachute opening up after some terrifying moments of free fall. It's like if God's a parachute, then faith is a ripcord. And it's to that notion that I say, parachutes fail. People do crash. You can't keep horrible things from happening by demanding faith in some kind of divine superhero who makes everything okay. What a stupid metaphor for faith.
How do you really feel about it,
Alice? How do I really feel, Lizzie? Far be it from me to be judgmental about other people's theological worldview. I admitted it was a character failing, okay, folks? I'm just being honest. But as I was having this debate with the straw man, I remembered something else. A few years ago, I read an account in the paper about a young American aid worker who had been kidnapped by terrorists abroad. She was a Christian, and in a message that she got out to her parents, she told them not to worry about her because God was cradling her in free fall. Cradling her in free fall. That blew me away. I did not get the impression from those words that she thought her faith or her God was going to magically rescue her from free fall. And it didn't. She was killed. But she felt the presence of her God loving her and holding her even as she fell into the abyss. And that moved me to my core. At the time I read that, I was experiencing something of a free fall of my own, although certainly not on that scale. My life wasn't in danger. But I felt like I was living a waking nightmare that was hurtling towards some kind of horrible climax, and I had no idea how things were going to turn out. Free fall. And so the phrase came back to me, cradled tenderly in free fall. I may not share that Christian aid worker's God, but that phrase of her became my parachute. I used it as a mantra. And the more I worked with the idea, the image, in prayer and meditation, I felt myself opening to love, even in my fear of the unknown, just like that anemone opening in the dark in the passage that Jim read. I didn't think a divine superpower was going to rescue me, but I found that nonetheless, I could experience being held in love. I could experience connection to the interdependent web in the unfolding moments of my fall. And that helped me, once my feet finally touched ground again, to hold up my heart as a lantern, to see just the next step. I think these days that we're all living in a time of free fall. Our country feels like it's in free fall. And the radical uncertainty that we face as individuals, as a nation, as part of the community of Earth, can really be terrifying. And there are a lot of religions that try to offer certainty in response to that. This is not one of them. But the opportunity we are given to live faithfully as Unitarian Universalists offers something that I think is more precious than certainty. You use, love the phrase which we usually attribute to Dr. King about the arc of the moral universe bending toward justice. That's something I so want to believe is true, and sometimes I do, and sometimes, honestly, I doubt. Dr. King was paraphrasing the words of 19th century Unitarian minister Theodore Parker, and he had a very nuanced view. Parker wrote, "I do not pretend to understand the moral universe. The arc is long. My eyes reach but little ways. I cannot calculate the curve and complete the figure by the experience of sight, but I can divine it by conscience. And from what I see, I am sure it bends toward justice." He's talking about the nature of faith. We can't see with our own eyes the whole arc to confirm or verify that it bends toward justice, but we can experience just enough to be willing to trust the proposition, or at least enough to be willing to act on it. We consult our experience and our conscience, and we choose to take the first step even when we don't see the staircase. Doubt is that voice whispering, "You can't see where the arc is going. You don't know if your efforts are going to make a damn bit of difference." But faith, not blind faith, a faith informed by reason and conscience, because we are Unitarian Universalists, faith responds, "That's a perfectly fair point. But you know what? Even so, I have experienced the power of community. I have seen how the passion for justice arises anew in every generation. I have felt love enter the darkest caves of my heart and the broken places in my spirit, and I have seen that happen for other people. Those experiences are enough for me to keep putting one foot in front of the other on a path of love, justice, and interdependence." James Luther Adams, a Unitarian theologian, said about the arc of justice, "It doesn't bend on its own. It bends because each of us, in our own way, puts our hands on it and bends it in the direction of justice." For me, that's the point of faithful living. By acting in accordance with those values, love, justice, mercy, I might help create them in this life. Even if they are incapable of perfect realization, as doubt tells me, they can emerge and flourish only to the extent we work for them. And so walking the path of faith according to those values and together with you is without doubt the best way for me to live a life of depth and meaning. And that, my friends, is what's more precious than certainty. So may it be.